Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Choices Finding Your Joy. I am here with another amazing guest. I have with us today Robert Besseker, and I have read Rob's book, Ever Strong. It touched my heart, and I'm so happy to share him with you today. He is an inspiration. He's not just an author, he's a public speaker, and his book, Everett Strong, is just amazing. And you're amazing, Rob. So first off, I want to say thank you. I'm so honored to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Paula. It's absolutely my pleasure, and it's my honor to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Please share with everyone a bit of your background and basically what you've experienced and gone through, and, you know, which is, you know, what triggered this book.
Yeah, when I was younger, I was always a college athlete. I was always an athlete going through high school, going through college. I went to college on a baseball scholarship. And I started experiencing a lot of medical issues. And initially they were unexplainable, and then it turned into heart conditions. And then finally in the end, I was diagnosed with something called myotonic muscular dystrophy. And so what I found in life is that we all go through these crazy obstacles. And for everybody, it's a little bit more different and it's a little bit more unique. And So I wanted to write a book about the challenges that I was able to overcome. And no matter what we go through in life, we can continue to set realistic and achievable goals. And so that's what I did, and that's what I write about in my story.
I love it. I love it. I mean, you had one challenge after the other, Rob.
I did. And you know, again, the interesting thing is I think we all go through struggles. And one of the things I see a lot of people do is try to compare. And so one of the things I absolutely did not want to do with my book is compare my story to anybody else's. Because when anybody is going through a difficult time, it's unique to them and it's important to them. And we all have different ways of getting over it. And we all have different goals we want to try to achieve. So my story, I talk about me in my inspirational memoir, and I talk about the battles that I faced, but I also generalize it in a way that it can apply to everybody. And so that's really the message that I wanted to put out there.
Yes, yes. What was it that triggered you to say to yourself, I want to be one of those that climb Mount Everest? Why? What made that a passion for you?
You know what? So you talk about some of the obstacles I faced, and it seemed like year after year after year, I was going through one issue after another. And in 2010, meanwhile, I continued to try to pursue my goals. And in 2010, I had the ability to go to my seventh and final continent of Antarctica. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to meet Peter Hillary, who is the son of Sir Edmund Hillary, the first to ever summit Mount Everest. And, you know, at the time in 2010, you know, I had heard of Mount Everest. I knew it was the tallest mountain in the world, but I didn't know a whole lot about the geography. I didn't know a whole lot about the people. I didn't know a whole lot about anything. And meeting Peter Hillary, I learned so much, and his talk was so inspirational to me that it really gave me a passion to kind of learn more about Mount Everest. And as fate would have it, I got back from that trip in 2010, and early in 2011, I had a cardiac procedure. I had an ablation. And unfortunately, the ablation went horribly wrong. And over the course of the year, I had 20 defibrillator shocks because I have a pacemaker defibrillator. I had 5 more cardiac procedures, surgeries that were done throughout the course of the year. And a lot of people began to question my recovery. And really doubt my recovery and question my survival. And so in 2012, just out of coincidence, I had made this amazing recovery. And all my doctors said, you know, Rob, you've overcome some tremendous obstacles. You should be able to live a normal, healthy life. And within a month after that, my sister and I, we both work in healthcare, were invited to do this expedition to Mount Everest, to do a hiking expedition. And it just seemed like all the stars were falling in line. I was trying to write this book. I was trying to inspire people with my word. And then all of a sudden I was invited to do this expedition to Everest. And it's like, wow, I got to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what inspired the trip. And then to throw a little bit more icing on the cake, in 2012, when I tried to do the trip, my doctor said, absolutely not. That would be crazy. That would be silly. You would put yourself in harm's way. And I said, well, wait a second. If you're telling me I should be able to live a normal, healthy life, to me, this is a normal, healthy thing. And so for the next 3 years, I went on a vigorous training program to prepare myself mentally, physically, emotionally to take this trip. And then finally in 2015, I was able to do it.
Wow. Wow. I mean, there's so many things you have to overcome in something like that. Like the altitude. I know myself on my trip to Peru, flying into Cusco, it was like, as soon as we got off the plane, it was like, you know, where's the air?
Right. Yeah, our trip was very similar. So we fly into Kathmandu. Kathmandu is not too far above sea level, but Kathmandu is the capital of Nepal. And then from there, we fly into Lukla, which is the first mountain town we reach. And all expeditions into the Himalaya Mountains from the Nepal side began in Lukla. So we flew into Lukla at like 9,300 feet. And then from there, you hike up to Everest Base Camp, which is at 17,600 feet. And it takes the average person anywhere between 8 and 12 days. And so we were able to get all the way up there in 11 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. But the altitude, it is a struggle, and there's a lot of preparation for it. So I did a lot of training throughout the U.S. I went to various mountains to do some hiking to prepare myself for the trip, to make sure that my body would be able to acclimate to the higher altitudes. And we brought oxygen on the trip with us to make sure in case anything went wrong. You know, because when you have muscular dystrophy and you have these heart problems, your body craves oxygen. Mm-hmm. And then so you're going up in altitude and there's less oxygen in the air. So it is something you have to be very, very careful of.
Yes, yes. And, you know, being prepared with that oxygen is, you know, that's just the thing to do. Realize it and be prepared. And Rob, you also, which just amazes me, experienced a 7.8 earthquake.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes. So I was in Nepal, and I was able to reach my goal at Everest Base Camp, which was just a phenomenal experience with some of the different people I met along the way. And it was a very difficult journey for so many different reasons, which I talk about in my book. And finally, I was able to make it to Everest Base Camp. And then we began our descent. And now the descent only took us 4 days. It took us 4 days to get from Everest Base Camp back to the mountain town of Lukla, because you don't have to acclimate along the way. And you can hike a little bit faster going downhill. It's just as dangerous, it's just as difficult, but you can go a little bit faster. So we made it back to Lukla in 4 days, and as fate would have it, on April 25th of 2015, there was a 7.8 magnitude earthquake that struck the country in Nepal, and it devastated the country, it destroyed base camp, and I was right smack dab in the middle of the mountains when that happened. So not only did it turn into a story about overcoming obstacles and pursuing dreams, but it also became a story of survival.
Yes. Yes. I can only imagine. And you were in the mountains.
I was in the mountain town of Lukla, and there was buildings crashing around us. Unfortunately, there were people in the town that lost their lives. It was a horrible experience.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And, You know, I would think experiencing something like that, Rob, really, you know, what that opens your mind to, you know, how quickly something can happen.
It does. It does. One of the interesting things I talk about when I got back, you know, you try to figure out the cause and effect of things. And, you know, I did a television interview shortly after I got back, and just at the tip of my tongue, I said, I don't know if it was blind luck or divine intervention, but I made it. And I'm so thankful and grateful that I did. And professionally, I also work in the field of hospice care. I've been in healthcare for 15 plus years, and I've been working in hospice care where I educate physicians and, you know, family in the community on the benefits of hospice. And I think that experience, along with taking care of both my mother and father at the end of their respective lives, really helped prepare me for a lot of what I saw in Nepal. You know, I think everything we do in life kind of prepares us for the next steps in life. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I was very blessed to be able to help out in that situation after the earthquake occurred.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I have to say something about your book that I just love, Rob, is that you have quotes all through the book. And I would like to mention one quote that I just really loved and would love to chat about. Life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. That is such a powerful message.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful quote from Charles Swindoll. And one of the things I wanted to incorporate in the book, you know, as a guy, I love movies, I love quotes. And so, you know, a lot of people don't know who I am and they don't know what I'm about. So at the beginning of each chapter, I wanted to take a famous quote from a famous person and incorporate that into essentially what the chapter is all about. And so that particular quote, I mean, it really strikes a chord with me because, you know, it's one of the bases of my message, and that is that we all go through obstacles and challenges in life. And there's different experiences we have, good and bad, and some we can control and some we can't control. But there's a lot of things we cannot control. And so many times we get caught up on that and we focus on these things that we can't control, and we get so many negative feelings and emotions about it. And it's really easy to do. And I've had my battles with that as well. But the interesting thing is things are going to happen to us in life. And it's not about what happens, because they're going to happen to everybody, but it is about how we respond. That's the one thing we can control. We can't control the environment. As far as Nepal and the earthquake is concerned, I can't control Mother Nature. But I can control how I respond and whether or not I choose to help while I'm out there and make the experience a little bit better for those that I can, or I can sit around and complain about why me and let that affect and create more obstacles in my life.
Yes, yes. And wouldn't you say the responses that we choose, I mean, that really puts us on a path that's gonna just create, you know, what's next in our life. But those responses, we set the direction of where our life is going to go.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned path, because one of the things I also talk in my book is detours. You know, we all go on these detours. So, you know, in our ideal life, we have this plan of how things are going to go. And inevitably, things don't always go that way. We have these detours or obstacles that come into our path. And it's how we handle those detours. And sometimes those detours are really a blessing. You know, to be able to assist with the people in Nepal during my journey, to be able to meet Peter Hillary while I was in Antarctica. I mean, there's so many things that have happened throughout my life that everybody looks at and it's like, oh, that's terrible. Well, no, it's created an opportunity. And so, you know, all the things that have happened to me in my life have led me to the opportunity where I'm able to meet a wonderful individual like yourself and be on your radio show. And that truly is a blessing and an honor.
our connections. I have to ask, what was the most powerful thing you took away from going to Antarctica? That just is fascinating to me.
From Antarctica or from
going to Antarctica itself, that area?
You know, Antarctica is just majestic. It is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. It was absolutely gorgeous. But in the midst of all that, you know, it's not just about our journey. It's not just about our destination, but some of the people that we have the ability to meet along the way. And so there's a lot of things that have gone on in my life, difficult relationships with family members, so on and so forth. And I actually took the trip to Antarctica with my sister. And it was an opportunity for us to get along better. And during that journey, I had the ability to meet Peter Hillary, which was just the opportunity of a lifetime. So, I mean, there's so many different takeaways from every experience. And Antarctica, along with being one of the most beautiful, majestic places I've ever seen, it also was an opportunity to build some of these relationships that that have been so wonderful. Peter Hillary was one of the first people to help me with my book, and actually on the back cover of my book wrote a testimonial for me, because he enjoyed reading my book as well.
Yes. And can you take a moment for me, Rob, and share with everyone how they can get a copy of your book and, you know, give your website information?
Sure. To learn a little bit more about my book, people can go to my website at www.robbesecker.com. That's robbesecker.com. And you can learn a little bit more about my journey and some of the different things that I went through in preparation for my book. Also on my website, you have the ability to purchase my book. It's available in print version in both hard copy as well as paperback. It is also available in ebook format, and it can be purchased through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and most other major retailers, and most libraries can get a hold of it as well.
I love it. It is such an amazing book. So with that experience and what you went through and to make that climb, what would you say to everyone? What would you like them to take in as something to think about today from your experience that you could share with them, a viewpoint or anything along that line?
Yeah, the main message, and thank you for the opportunity again, what I love to share with people is that every single one of us is going to go through obstacles and detours and challenges in our respective lives. But we all have the ability to take control of our own destinies, to set realistic goals, and move forward to achieve those goals and dreams. And I want to reach out to people with my word, with my book, with my inspirational talks, that the destiny is ours. Live your dreams, live your goals, do what you have to do to get there. And you don't have to do it alone. I never would be in the position I'm in without some of the help that I've gotten along the way. And whether it be from a family member, whether it be from a friend, whether it be from somebody you don't know very well, people are out there who are willing to help. So please reach out when you need a hand and continue to pursue your goals and dreams.
I love that. So, you know, be open to others helping us when we need it.
Absolutely.
That doesn't take away from our strength. That just adds to it, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And in fact, I talk about that in the beginning of my book, that, you know, as a man, sometimes we think growing up that, you know, if you reach out to people, you're showing your insecurities and you're showing your weaknesses, and that's not at all true. It's having the ability to reach out to others for help. That is showing your strength. It's showing the fact that you have the knowledge that you can't do it alone. And more importantly, you don't have to.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, to take those steps and to really never give up was such a key for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the other things I talk about is, again, we go through these do tours and challenges, and not everybody can do a hiking expedition to Mount Everest. That's not the point I'm trying to make, but we can all make modifications to our goals and dreams to make them realistic and achievable goals. And so throughout life, we have to continue to do that. We have to continue to set goals. We have to continue to modify our goals so we can achieve them. I could never summit Mount Everest. I couldn't do that as a result of my health conditions, but I was able to overcome my troubles and I was able to make it to base camp. There's going to come a day where I can't hike in the Himalayas anymore, but I might still be able to travel to Nepal. There might come a day where I can't fly to Nepal, but I can still look at pictures and videos and talk about my experiences. So, you know, again, we all have to make modifications, but, you know, one of the things I want to encourage everybody to do is make life happy. You have control over that, and do your best to pursue your goals and dreams.
Yes. Oh, I love that, Rob. Yes. Make life happy. And that can be making some changes with our goals or our path. But a lot of times when you say, if we do have to make a change on something, something better comes our way, or a connection, someone we
Absolutely.
Meet.
Absolutely. Yes. So, I mean, you know, an example of that, one of the things I talk about in my book, my experience in Everest, you know, there were so many detours in our trip that we faced where we were actually, if we followed the initial itinerary, we would have been up near base camp when the earthquake took place, when the avalanche and the destruction at base camp took place. But as a result of some of the detours on our trip, We sped up the trip, we canceled India, we flew out there a couple days early, we modified our trip during the trip to take, you know, one less acclimatization day on the way down. I mean, there were so many different things which, you know, at the moment you can look at and you can complain about, and you can say, oh, this stinks, you know, this is another detour. But in the end, what a blessing. It took us out of harm's way. And it put us in the mountain town of Lukla, where we could actually help people when the earthquake took place. So it was truly a blessing.
Yes, yes. Wow. Isn't that something? Oh, Rob. Well, we have a few. That just tears me up. It's just such a powerful message. We have just a few minutes left in the show. What last words do you want to share with everyone, Rob?
The most important thing I want to do is reiterate that, you know, things are not always easy and things are not always great, and we're not always going to follow the path that we thought we would. But there's always going to be opportunities. There's always going to be different people that we meet along the path, along the way of life's journey. And, just enjoy those relationships, build the relationships that matter. Reach out to people when you can help them, and reach out to people when you need an extra hand, and continue to pursue your goals and dreams, because there's always things out there that we can aspire to do. Mm-hmm. Regardless of our limitations, there's things we can do. And, you know, we only have one opportunity in this life, and make the best of it. Enjoy every second of it.
Yes. Oh, that's such a great message, Rob, because, you know, we can, so many things, we can find our passion in so many ways.
So absolutely. And I don't want to make it sound easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difficult process. And, you know, it was a difficult process for me, but it's there. And I just want people to experience as much happiness as they can.
Yeah. And we all have that power.
Absolutely.
To experience and to be happy, don't we?
And I know you're a huge conduit to help people do that. And I can only hope that my book and my talks encourage people to do the same.
Yes, yes. Oh, it is a must read, everyone. It's a beautiful book. And Rob, I'm just so happy to have met you, and I look forward to meeting you in person one day. We will make that happen.
Thank you so much. Yeah, just to reiterate to people, I do a lot of public speaking, and I have a local talk. I live in Illinois, and I have a local talk at the Tinley Park Public Library on August 15th. So I certainly hope anybody who can come out and listen to my inspirational talk. And I will have books available if anybody wants to purchase one from me live and in color.
I love it. I love it. Oh, well, thank you, everyone. And I will see you next week. Rob, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
You too. Love, hugs, and blessings. Love, hugs, and blessings, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Are you an athlete who wants to expand on your current sports performance or struggling to regain your athletic abilities following a brain or body injury? Seattle's On Point Performance Neurotraining offers the latest technology and science-based therapies to heal active minds and bodies. Just ask one of their clients who just received an Olympic bronze medal. Stop into their office at 4000 Aurora Avenue North, Suite 208, or find more information at onpointneuro.com. That's onpointneuro.com.